Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. What's this, 259, I believe? Wow.
259.
Cruising on along there. I didn't say 69, Matt. It's 259. Calm down.
Oh, yeah. Just this is one Mark. Number off. This is Matt.
This is long.
It's 10 numbers off, but okay. Hey, you know, it's always funny to make a 69 joke, even if it didn't make a lot of sense.
Yep.
It is a prime number.
That's right. Episode 69, that was so long ago.
Now, what much different we, I'm show then. I'm going to go back and see what we did on that episode.
It probably sucked. And I'm just guessing. I don't know. Yeah, some of those early episodes weren't bad. And then There was Frank on those episodes that you never knew what he was going to say.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, we're going to have to, at some point, this thought crossed my mind. We're probably going to have a somewhat of a reunion with him at one point. You know, I would think we'd have to invite him on, you know, like maybe episode 300 or something, you know, I guess it would make sense, that could work. You know, and just have him sit there and say, hey, this is Frank, and don't let him talk the entire rest of the show.
I'm Frank, and I'm just here.
That's right. Reunion commits. I don't know. How are you guys? You all good?
Good.
Oh yeah, good.
Long is very tired. He worked hard today.
Very.
And slayed. You know. So
there's. Can I add something? Yeah. When we were doing our post recap on Comic Palooza. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention a very funny story where I was, you know, dropping Matt off at his house and I got a flat tire, right? So it started raining. And so Matt gave me his portable air pump and I started pumping the tires and it started raining harder, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, curse you, God, why do you have to make it rain? And then it rained really hard after that, right? And then I went to the next tire, and I realized, I'm sorry, God, I shouldn't have cursed at you. And then it stopped raining.
It did.
It literally stopped raining.
What day was this? The day y'all went to Compalooza, or you did?
Yeah, when I dropped Matt off.
Oh, okay.
At his house. Yeah, when it rained really hard.
It was
swear to God, that's what happened.
It was perfect timing.
It was bizarre, you know. Maybe I'm the second coming of Jesus.
Oh shit.
Maybe. And you're just now realizing it.
No. Anyways, but I wanted to share that story, that really funny coincidental story. Yeah.
That's epic, dude. I mean, that's
yeah.
It was pretty
curse you, God, why do you have to rain? And then it started raining just pouring.
Oh yeah, then, coming down.
And then I said, I'm sorry, God, I shouldn't have cursed at you. And then it stopped raining. That was so bizarre. But anyways.
So that's the moral of the story is, kids, don't curse the gods.
Right.
You know, they'll pee on you with rain.
I'm sorry, Zeus. God of thunder.
God of thunder.
But I'm sorry I had to work so hard today. I had a pretty damn busy week at work, too. And
fucking end of the month. I hate this monthly rat race that the grocery industry goes through. You know?
Right.
They do this panic buying BS every freaking month, and they keep falling for it like a bunch of... Oh, my God. I can't stand it. I don't understand why it keeps happening.
Right. Well, I'm glad to be out of there, though. I'm on vacation for the next 9 days, and by the time we record again, I will be a couple days away from getting a year older, as there'll be a birthday movie pick next week. But I'm going to try to enjoy the vacation and not do too much, mostly stuff around the house. So
catch up on Loki.
I will try. I have not watched it yet. I can tell you that going in to download this, I still have not gotten to it, but I did watch something, but we'll get to that in just a minute. But, yeah, so, well, I guess we get to download this. I don't really have much else to say on the intro there, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week. Since I mentioned I watched it, I guess I'll go first, man. I started watching, Harley Quinn on HBO Max. Man, has one messed up cartoon.
Yeah.
But it's really well done. This is the move. This is what Birds of Prey should have been. It should have been like this cartoon. And they should have let Margot Robbie just completely unleash on that character and be the character Harley Quinn that she could be. And that is in the cartoon. And Matt, I'm ignoring your stupidity on camera over there. But it's really well written, about three or four episodes in, and it's just about Harley breaks up with the Joker and she wants to be the ultimate supervillain. And there's a lot of very dark, very, very adult humor in it.
Yeah.
Very adult language, very adult violence. It's funny because for the first three or four episodes, Poison Ivy is basically telling her, I want to do things to you. And Harley Quinn just keeps basically ignoring it. It's like, oh, I'm too busy becoming this ultimate supervillain.
She's first trying to convince Poison Ivy to join her. And she's like, with your powers and control of plants and my acrobatics, we'll be unstoppable. And it's like, he names all these like awesome powers. And then she's like, in my acrobatics.
It's really well written. The voice work is outstanding. You know, better than some regular cartoons that are spent a lot of money on. You know, it's excellent voice work. But I'm really enjoying the hell out of it. It's definitely something I'm going to – I know I've started shows before and I haven't gone back and finished them, but this is definitely a show I'm going to keep watching. I really like it. And that's I don't think I watched anything else this week, but I did start watching Harley Quinn. I watched the little making of special on that tied in with the Masters of the Universe. It was on Netflix. I mean, it's mostly just Kevin Smith and a couple of the guys from the show just, you know, telling you why you should watch this. Been an interesting week with all the – a lot of fandom haters on that He-Man show, which is ridiculous. A bunch of 40-year-old guys complaining about a cartoon they watched when they were 6 years old, and they're thinking it's supposed to be the same way. It's like – it's just, Kevin Smith had every right to tell them to grow the fuck up. It's just a cartoon. You know, get over it.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad cartoon. I think it's really well written. It's only first five episodes of a full story that hasn't even told yet. And they're complaining about things that instead of waiting to see how the story unfolds. But just ridiculous. It's like, man, the internet. And it seems like it's gotten worse during COVID because more people are at home. And that it gives them a reason to just bitch about things. You know, it's like, just enjoy it. You know, we could have no He-Man. We could have no Voltron, no Transformers returning to television. At least we have it, you know?
Yeah.
Just bizarre the way these fans are with this show. Because it's really – and then to make death threats to him and his daughter over a show.
What?
Like, come on.
Yeah. Really?
Kevin Smith has said he and his daughter have had death threats over He-Man. Yeah, saying they ruined
He-Man.
His childhood.
People making death threats over He-Man. Okay.
It's just ridiculous. Just like people that gave death threats to Kathleen Kennedy or I can't think of her name, the girl who played Rose. You know, it's just like, come on. These are human beings, you know? They're just doing their part. It's like
It's interesting for you, Matt, to hear this coming from me and Mark, because, Matt, you have zero connection to He-Man because this show aired like a decade before you were born.
Yeah,
at least a decade and a half. So you're like far removed from the He-Man fandom, you know.
It would come on like the reruns, but it's like I didn't pay much attention to it. I may watch an episode or two, and I don't really remember much. My uncle had a ton of He-Man toys, which I could not play with. Was not allowed to play with. But yeah, I was I was in Ghostbusters and Power Rangers.
Ultimately, man. It was a show made specifically to sell toys. There was no planned narrative behind it. There was no planned universe. It was simply there to sell toys. And now, you know, these writers, Kevin Smith and his crew, are taking it and trying to create a little bit bigger mythology on it, but playing off of the original show. and they're trying to give fans just something new and refreshing. I mean, did you really want Adam whining for 20 minutes and He-Man shows up at the end and saves the day? Did you want the same show you got back in 1984? Because, you know, I got news, people, go watch that stuff. Some of it's not that great. It's okay, you know, but it's not great. You know, a lot of those episodes use stock footage animation over and over again. You could have a 20-minute episode back then, and maybe 10 minutes of it was new animation. You know, it's like, I don't know where these people are coming from.
Real Ghostbusters was the shit.
Yeah, that was a great cartoon.
That's original stories.
It used a lot of stock animation, though, but that's the way they save money back then, you know, on those shows. But Real Ghostbusters were, I mean, the 80s were full of great cartoons, and now that you're getting these new versions and they're just playing off the mythologies and trying to give us new stuff, and I'm all there for it. I think it's cool. And in fact, it's made me I didn't really tell you guys this. You know, I'm kind of working on the movie list for the next couple of months, but I think we're going to do Masters of the Universe here in a couple of weeks. I think it's time right now where people are talking about He-Man to do the 1987 film. I know it's not great, but it'll still be fun to talk about. And it's on Netflix, so it's easy to watch right now. It's either on Netflix or Prime. It's on one of them. You know, so not next week or anything, but here maybe in a few weeks. So we'll see. But what'd you guys watch or check out this week?
In Final Fantasy XIV Online, I finally beat the base game story, and I'm finally getting into the first expansion. Nice. And I am freaking excited. I unlocked a machinist, which is a rifleman in the fantasy setting, so I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Other than that, not a damn thing.
On the Matt. I watched another Dennis Quaid movie. The wife put on The Parent Trap, and I was like, oh, I forgot Dennis Quaid was the dad in The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan, and I forget the other actors. But, yeah, classic remake, good remake. I saw the first one, but it was like a long time ago. And then I bought a couple Arnold movies. They had them on sale, I guess, because they just know it's his birthday. So like the week before,
Matt, there's a finite number of Arnold movies. How many Arnold movies have you bought that are probably repeats of
purchases? I will, if it's like $5, like, you know, they had stuff for $5 and $6 this past weekend. And, you know, I have the DVD copies, but, you know, I'll buy the digital just to have it. I bought Aftermath, which I had rented Aftermath before, and took advantage that it was $4.99 and bought it. Good movie. Based on a true story. I didn't realize it was based on a true story.
What was?
Aftermath.
Starring who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's the first acting gig of that. You know, the dude that was in the wheelchair of Batman vs. Superman that went to court and blew up everybody, make it look like Superman did it. He was like, he was the Wayne employee, disgruntled Wayne employee that vandalized the statue. He's in that movie. He plays the flight controller that is on duty while two planes collide with each other. Arnold's character plays a Russian father who lost his wife and child, who was pregnant with his grandson. He hunted that operator down and killed him, and later became a politician, a Russian politician. It was based on a true story. It's got some character actors in it, you know, but, you know, so it's worth a buy at $5. Bought Pumping Iron, which I own on DVD. And I watched that. And what else did I watch? Man, I felt like I watched something else and just can't remember. But been playing some Destiny 2 this week. They had some new upgrades, some new armor mods, and my son wanted me to play it, and so I just went and started playing a few runs, and that's been it.
You should try Warframe.
Warframe?
Yeah, they're gonna have a cross-platform, cross-save features, and I really like that game. It's mainly PvE, you know, and it's basically a collect-a-thon. And
okay.
It's a pretty...
It's pretty fun.
Just check out some recent videos.
It's highly rated. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of the most generous free-to-play type games out there. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty fun, even though I kept getting stuck in places on it.
Yeah. They made improvements to the new player experience as well.
It looks good. I'm looking at gameplay pictures right now.
Yeah, there's 30 different types of warframes that you could try out. You know, you have one warframe that's electric based, another one that's like explosions based. There's one called Mesa, who's a gunslinger, which is pretty damn cool. And, yeah. Space Ninjas, bro.
Space
Ninjas. Can't go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is it as cool as Surf Ninjas?
There is a Surf Ninja in there. Surf Ninjas. No, but no, Matt, there is a Surf Ninja, literally.
Really?
In there. Yes. Yeah.
I might get it now. I might.
Yeah. It's free, so you got nothing to lose.
Okay.
Yeah. It basically does everything that Destiny does, but better. And freer.
Nice.
Freer.
And freer.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's this week's download this. Today's featured film from 1987, directed by Joe Dante, who's a protege.
I forgot that he directed this movie.
Yeah, protege of the Steven Spielberg and George Lucas kind of group of filmmakers Amblin. Back in the 80s, Amblin mm-hmm. Entertainment, yeah. And starring Martin Short and Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, Interspace. And Long, you had this movie on the docket to do, and so I'll let you summarize it.
Thank you. Interspace is basically about a shrinking experiment where Tuck Pendleton.
Yeah.
Gets, mm-hmm. Tuck Pendleton, played by Dennis Quaid, gets shrunk and was intended to be put in a rabbit to explore its anatomy. And unfortunately, the lab gets ransacked by a rival company, and then Dennis Quaid gets shrunk, of course, and then gets injected into Martin Short, and kind of a weird buddy movie in a way.
Yeah,
kind of is.
And yeah, so anyways, the whole premise of the movie is trying to get Dennis Quaid back to normal size before his air supply runs out, while at the same time trying to fend off, I guess, industrial espionage.
Yeah. There's no real explanation as to why this other company is doing what they do.
Yeah. I know. Just to make money, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And starring Kevin McCarthy, too, because he's always, like, all over the place back in the 80s, huh?
Star Trek?
Uh-huh. No, that's...
The cowboy.
Ricardo.
Yeah, Robert Picardo. He's a really good actor in this movie, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's pretty damn good. That's the premise of the movie, trying to get Tuck Pendleton back to normal.
Right, with some sort of two different type of microchips, and somehow the one microchip ended up in the bad guy's hands, which it's not really explained how the other company got the microchip. It's like... Wait a minute. Why did y'all not keep these microchips on site in case you had to enlarge it? But all of a sudden, the other company has a microchip, and it's like, wait, what? So there's some plot holes in this movie, but it's like,
no, they got it during the raid.
Oh, did they? Okay, so I guess I missed that. I was just like, how did they get the?
They got the microchip. Yeah,
I remember
fantastic
seeing
fantastic special effects.
Yeah, it won an Oscar for visual effects, and I think that's what this movie's most notable for. It's not going to be known for great performances, but Dennis Quaid, Martin Short, and all the actors, they do what they're asked of in the part. And Martin Short actually delivers some really pretty decently funny moments with his body language and things like that. And Dennis Quaid does what he does best, and that's playing kind of the smart-ass, cocky guy, which he's done before in movies. And so it makes their dynamic work as Tuck tries to convince Jack to help him at first, and Jack doesn't believe what's going on. And then Jack buys into it because Tuck tells him, "You're a badass, man. You can do whatever." And Jack's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I'm a badass." You know, it's just like, what? He's punching people and trying to kick ass left and right.
He's like, "No, hit him in the face."
Right. And it's funny.
I really like how Martin Short's character starts very timid and always
full of
anxiety.
Yeah.
Anxiety and clumsy. Yeah.
Yeah, and by the end of the movie, he has a really good character arc, I felt. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes to be fully confident, mainly because he's forced to.
He has to.
But, yeah, what did you think of, what were your impressions of it, Matt? You've never seen this movie.
No, this is the first time, you know, Martin Short's fresh off of Three Amigos, Meg Ryan's fresh off of Top Gun, the movie was overshadowed by Spaceballs and Spaceballs' second week, but I feel like it's still a good movie. It's still got that. I feel like it's got that campy kind of comedy that's much present in the 80s, and I still found it enjoyable,
entertaining.
You know, because I entertaining because I appreciate the 80s. A lot of good things came from the 80s. And, I found the film, you know, funny whenever he has, you know, like whenever Dennis Quaid alters his Martin Short's face muscles so he becomes the cowboy and goes undercover and stuff. And
I love it. That's such a funny scene.
Yeah. So,
and then the scene where he's about to torture him with a flamethrower.
Yeah.
And then his face.
Yeah. Like,
and then the one henchman faints. And he just passes out watching the Martin Short's face go all contorted and stuff. Yeah. And then you hear Kevin, the villain, doing the, you know, exorcism rites or something. You know, that's funny. It's like, "Oh, Lord Jesus, please exorcise this demon." When they're watching his face contort. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this movie still has a lot of charm, and it still can make you chuckle. Make you laugh, and you know, I feel like it's a good film, you know. So I was glad I got introduced to something I hadn't seen before. You know, that's always cool. Yeah.
Well, and this movie works at an entertaining level mostly because of Martin Short. I mean, Dennis Quaid did it, but he's more like Martin Short's conscious in it because he's inside him. And the special effects are nice, but without Martin Short's comedic moments in this movie, it doesn't work as well. Like, I find it funny where he's in the doctor's office and he's laying on the ground with his feet up and doing all this crazy stuff. And the doctor the entire time just keeps talking to him so straight and narrow without breaking his doctorism. You would think he'd be start laughing or go, "What the hell's wrong with him?" But I can't think of the actor's name. He plays the doctor, but he just stays so straight with him, and he's doing all this crazy stuff. And he's like, "Oh, you're going to be okay, Jack. We're going to take care of you." You know, and never once thinks he's crazy or anything. And he's doing all this bizarre stuff. And I found that I've seen this before. It's been some years, but watching it again, you kind of pick up on, like you said, Jack's character arc, and the special effects are nice, but they're not, and they drive the movie, but not as much as Jack's story does. You know, his story drives the movie more, and the special effects almost become a background into helping the story. And the special effects are quite amazing. Even I was sitting there thinking, like, how did they do this in 1987? You know, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, watching the bloodstream, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the pod go through the human bloodstream and, you know, and sitting inside the trachea. The breathing tube. And, and that scene where the Mr. Igo, the Terminator knockoff, the guy with his, you know, just going after him with his own body explorer thingy. So.
And I knew, I was like, the special effects are really good. And I was like, man, I wonder what else this guy's done. And man, he did Terminator 2. He did he did the Star Wars prequels. So this guy's a good
Dennis Mirren. Dennis Mirren is part of the original special effects crew for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie also has is now credited with being the first movie with a selfie as Dennis Quaid at the beginning when he grabs Polaroid. Yeah, it takes a picture. Yeah. It's also one of the rarest VHSs out there because it was one of the first VHSs to be released in a widescreen format. So it's very valuable today to have a VHS version of Innerspace in widescreen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Who would have thought, you know, because you would think Star Wars or one of these other popular movies, but this is one of the rare widescreen VHSs. You remember those where they had the black bars in the VHS and all that to show them widescreen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I have to kind of give credit to Meg Ryan. She is very, very charming in this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of miss Meg Ryan too, but she's very likable, and she's a very active, you know, she's not very passive as a character, like
right.
And she's very strong willed, and
she's not just a damsel in distress in this movie.
Right. Yeah. She shot the gun trying to hold up, and pieces of the ceiling fell on her head. She, you know,
and then she took off with Dennis Quaid's towel and left him naked in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Leave it to Matt to not make it through the episode without mentioning the dude's butt.
That's right. Quaid.
You're just looking out for the ladies, right, Matt?
Yep. Yeah. We got to toss him something, you know.
This does have Dennis Quaid ass in this movie.
Dennis Quaid butt cheeks, man.
And Joe Dante almost originally turned this down because he had just made Explorers and didn't really want to make another straight sci-fi movie. And then the film went through some rewrites to make it more comedic-like, and that brought Joe Dante back in. He's like, okay, you know, because he felt it was different enough after doing another straight sci-fi movie. Amblin Entertainment, though, was known for that kind of stuff in the 80s, you know, a lot of sci-fi and some comedies and things like that. But I want to go back to like how Matt was talking, like this is such an 80s film. And for even the late 80s, it's very from the hairstyles to the cars to the decorations in the homes, even the glasses of the scientists. Like, this movie screams 1980s in so many ways, but yet kind of has a science fiction futuristic feel to it, too, just because of the premise of it. But it's definitely an 80s film, and you can feel it on every level, especially the perms and the haircuts.
Oh, yeah, the perms.
Right.
Man, you mentioned Dante directing. Before him, it was going to be Carpenter. We're going to have John Carpenter, but he ultimately left in order to go pursue Big Trouble, Little China.
Which came out before this. This doesn't feel like a Carpenter-style film, though, you know?
No, it doesn't.
Innerspace. Yeah. It would have had such a different feel, I think, if he had done it. This movie also, the beginning of the film, it does start out a little clunky with the whole dream stuff and him working in the grocery store. And it's like, and I guess they're trying to build him up as this really clumsy, like you said, hypochondriac guy. But that's my one thing. I did think the first 15 minutes of this film are really kind of bizarre. It's almost like they didn't know how to start Jack's story. They knew what they were doing with Tuck as far as the experiment, but it's like, how do we tell Jack's story? Oh, let's make him a lovable loser right away. But it's really kind of awkward for about 10 minutes. And his boss is all really calm with him in a grocery store. And working in the grocery business, I've never seen bosses act like that. They'd be like, get the hell out of here. You're weird. You know, they would have kicked you out of the store. So I think that's one part that bogs the movie down a little bit. His first 15 or 20 minutes of this film are really a little clunky and bizarre. Once he gets injected with Jack, with Tuck, then it becomes a much better movie. I mean, would y'all agree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all.
I think it does a pretty good job of setting up Jack as a character, you know,
right,
in his current state. So, I think for me, it was fine. And Martin Short kept it entertaining, at least. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Martin Short's great in this movie. He's funny, about
his dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, but he's not over annoying in the movie. Yeah, or over the top. He's funny just enough. And I think that's what's really good about him in this movie. And his physical comedy, like you said, the scene where his face is changing and all that, it's really well done. You know, it's hilarious. The scene in the car when the bad guy is shrinking behind him and he's putting his little small hands on him. It's really weird but funny. And it's really weird, too, because some of the camera angles, they shoot it from the side and his arms look normal. And then when they shoot it from the front, he's got these small hands. And it's like, I guess they were doing that to save some money on budget. But it's noticeable that he goes from big to small. And it's like, okay, that's weird. But, you know, this is an interesting movie, though. It's one of those movies that feels like it has Hollywood remake written all over it, you know. But was it popular enough to warrant a remake? I didn't look at the box office how well this did. I know it was held back, like you said, Matt, a little bit from Spaceballs being very popular. But this movie has seen – but people know this movie. If you mention Interspace with Martin Short and Dennis Quaid, you know, they do have heard of it or they've seen it. So it's made the rounds as far as – you know, being on television or replays throughout the years, so people are familiar with the film. So you know, I don't know how big. Yeah. It felt a little long. It's a bit of a long film for 2 hours for a sci-fi comedy.
Yeah, 2 hours.
There's some stuff you could have cut out in the movie, like the whole scene where they go to the club as they're trying to track the cowboy. Some of that I felt was a little pointless because it didn't really lead the story anywhere. You know, other than this other chick that he works with at the grocery store, basically trying to dry hump him in the club. So, you know, but other than that, I think overall the movie plays well. And it was interesting to rewatch. You know, not a bad pick long, you know. I was more entertained by this than Master and Commander. That's still a boring ass film.
Your signal's breaking up, Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, your signal's breaking up pretty bad.
Well, everything looks good on my end.
Oh, there we go. No,
I haven't heard you said anything the past 10 seconds.
I heard.
Well, I didn't say much in the last 10 seconds. So.
Are they streaming something over there?
They're just playing Dragon Ball FighterZ. Yeah. They're not streaming anything. But, but it's a good pick. It was an entertaining movie. Fun to watch. Hadn't watched it in some years. Any other thoughts on this before we rank it?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, your signal keeps breaking up on me and Matt's end. Yeah, so.
You get, keep going in and out.
Yeah. Didn't catch what your final impressions were.
Oh, I just said, any other thoughts on this movie before we give it rankings?
One last fact. Cool little thing. Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan got married after this movie.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know they were married.
Yep.
They were for a while. They've since got divorced, but yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dennis tapped that. They were married for quite a while, about 10, 11 years. They were kind of a Hollywood thing for a while there. And but as most Hollywood romances, it wasn't meant to be.
But, yep.
But I don't know. I think I give this a B, you know, entertaining flick, you know, to waste a couple hours of afternoon. Nothing great. Not going to change your life or anything, but fun enough to watch.
I watched this movie on multiple repeats when I was a kid. So I'll probably give it a B+.
I think it's a solid B, maybe B+ with the special effects. Yeah. B+. I think you factor that in. It's definitely gives it a little something extra.
Extra sauce.
Well, that brings us to our top five this week. Then top five shrinky moments of movies, and we let Long do this top five mostly because. Man, this was not an easy top five to really all three of us do because I didn't feel there was enough out there. I felt like our lists would have all been the same. Or I could just say I thought Long's idea for the list sucked. So top five shrinky movie moments, Long. Let us have them. Come at us, bitch.
Yes.
All right. Number five. It's I gave a couple away during our text exchanges, but number five is actually a creative use of time travel via shrinking in Avengers Endgame. So, yeah, they had to shrink to whatever size in order to time travel. So I thought that was the most creative use of the shrinking trope in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that, guys?
No, yeah, I like whenever, and I like at the, you know, when they're trying to figure out time travel at first, and you know all the crap that happens to Ant-Man before.
Right? Yeah, that's pretty entertaining scene. number four is "Honey, I Shrunk the Kids" when they meet the ant.
Yes, that was so cool.
they befriended the ant in the backyard. They're trying to make their way back inside the house. And I vaguely remember, was there a Lego around?
Yes, they come across a Lego. They come across like a Skittle, don't they? Like there's like a Skittle or some candy back there.
Mm-hmm. I just like remember that being on TV not that long ago, and I think the kids were watching it, and like, I guess when I was a kid, I didn't think nothing of it, but you watch it now, and it's like, it's really badly acted.
From the kids?
Yes. It's just, especially the kid, the boy, the son, or the boyfriend, or the son, or whatever, that's trying to mac on the girl. God, he's terrible. It's just, he's just not very good at acting at all.
Hey, you. What are you doing here, babe? Something like that.
Get your hands off her.
Number three is kind of a stick fascination, and that's the from Inner Space, the digestion of Mr. Igel.
Yeah,
a very creative villain death, I have to say. It's very epic too, the way the Dennis Quaid's pod and Mr. Igel falls from the stomach esophagus. Cloaca? No, it's not the cloaca. It falls right through it into the bile of acid.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see just a skeleton all melted.
I know. I was thinking, man, that's kind of weird. He has a dead dude inside his belly now.
Yeah. Right. And then number two is a funny scene from Beetlejuice towards the end. Yep. Where his head gets shrunk. So, hey, hey, I kind of like this. No. But number one is, have you guys ever heard of the old movie, The Fantastic Voyage from 20th Century Fox?
Yeah.
It's basically one of the... one of the pinnacles of shrinking movies. But there's a scene from this movie where it like affected me as a kid. And sometimes I still think about it to this day, and it left a strong impression. And it's a scene where a bunch of white blood cells started attacking the female scientist.
Oh.
And they're inside the human body, and all these white blood cells started attacking her. Because she was a foreign microorganism.
Yeah.
It was like pretty trippy. That's my number one scene, shrinking scene.
I've seen that movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, but hopefully it'll end up on Disney Plus one day if they ever get around to releasing more of their Fox stuff. That's why I texted y'all the other day, where's the Disney Plus adult Fox stuff that was supposed to be out this year? They just sort of
have X-Men.
Yeah. But they just sort of push that away, I guess, for now. Cool. Well, let's get into some news then. Since we're done with the feature film, the top five. And Dan Trachtenberg is working on a Waterworld television series. Kind of interesting concept. I can see how Waterworld could work on television, though. But, the movie was considered one of the most expensive movies of all time. How are you going to do that on television? You know, I guess film it in all on a set somewhere where it's all water, so it's not overly expensive or anything. But I don't know, it could work. We'll see if it comes to fruition. It's just in the early planning stages, but it could be interesting if it happens. Stick with television for a minute. We got a release date for Hawkeye, November 14th, I believe. We will get our first look. They released an image of Hawkeye this week, and so it's coming to Disney Plus this November. Of course, starring Haley Stanfield as well as Kate Bishop, and we do know that Melina from Black Widow will be appearing in it as well. So it'll be interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to that one. I always felt that if Black Widow got her own movie, how come Hawkeye couldn't get his own movie? But he's getting a TV series instead. Even though Jeremy Renner definitely, I think, could have carried a Hawkeye film for sure.
For sure.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And we'll stick with Marvel for a second. Of course, Black Widow just came out in theaters and Disney Plus, and there's been a lot of controversy in the last year with things changing cinematically as far as movies getting released theatrically and on streaming services, and Warner Brothers and HBO had to go back and renegotiate a lot of their contracts with their actors to ensure that they were going to get paid for these same day release dates. And you know, that's why Dune is still going to have an HBO Max release, because they went back and they talked to all the actors and redid some contracts. But I guess Disney did not do that, and it looks like they might have breached Scarlett Johansson's contract, so she is suing Disney. And wow. This is not getting the negative backlash that you would think. People seem to be behind her. Studio execs and stuff think she's doing the right thing. Kevin Feige himself is a little upset with Disney that they did not realize they had not spoken to her about this, or at least that's the story he's telling. I find that a little hard to believe, that he did not know what's going on when he's producing one of the biggest cinematic universes out there. Yeah. But that's the story Feige's given us, that he didn't know they didn't speak to Scarlett. We'll see how this goes. This could change things. Personally, I like the same day release and able to have the option to watch it at home or whatever. I'm kind of enjoying that. But you know, it's easy for us to say, oh, they get paid a lot of money. Will she complain about money? Well, to me, look, it's no difference if Matt or any of us go to work and we do something and we don't extra for our boss that we were told we were going to get paid for, and we didn't get paid for it, we'd be upset too. Whether it's $20 or $50 million in this case. So, you know, you got to look at it from that perspective, despite how rich they are. You know, so good for Scarlett standing up for herself. I mean, let's face it, she knows her time in the MCU is probably done anyway. You know, Black Widow's story's been told. We know it's moving on to her sister. So she felt it was time to stand up for what she felt was right. So that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
The Suicide Squad comes out next Friday on HBO Max. And so David Ayer is talking some smack again, standing up for his Suicide Squad. He claims he's seen James Gunn's film and he thinks it's spectacular. So he's like, you know, I made a spectacular film too, but the studio butchered my movie. They released the version that they put out there. And I don't think anything's ever going to come with this. I think Warner Brothers I don't know if they were a little fed up with all the fan cry for the Snyder Cut, and they gave it to fans and people were happy about it. But I think Warner Brothers just seems like they want to move on from things. And, you know, it'd be nice. Iyer says the cut's ready to go. It's just a matter of some small finishing touches. He doesn't need more money or anything like that. Just put it out there. Maybe he's doing this to hope it gets released. But, you know, we'll see. I want to see it. Honestly, I'd like to see his cut, you know, and see if there's a better film there.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see that. Warner Brothers is notorious for this. You know, we still don't have the Superman 2 international cut. It's never been released with all the extra footage that aired on ABC once back in the day. We still don't have the uncut Batman Forever that's out there. Joel Schumacher, before he passed away, you know, he said it exists, a much darker version of Batman Forever. He said it still has some comedy in it, because you're not going to hire Jim Carrey and not have comedy, but Schumacher has said there is a different version of Batman Forever out there. And, you know, so Warner Brothers has done this before. So maybe one day they'll come around and release this stuff. You know, in a streaming world, the format is there for that stuff, you know, to release it. So let's get it out there to the fans. Let them see what they want.
Exactly.
You know, and lastly, we got a new trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife. Longer, you feeling a little better about this film after this new trailer? Because, man, it was a pretty swell trailer.
Oh, man. I hated YouTube's. And this is, from what I could tell, I like it. But man, YouTube has a really bad way of, you know, having picture quality in dark scenes. So sure. I could barely see anything. But other than that, I thought I'm excited. I want to check it out.
Well, and sometimes with YouTube too, make sure you pull up like the official Sony page.
Yeah.
Because then I noticed that too, and it sometimes looks better. But yeah, I think it was a good trailer, man. I love the voiceover at the end when we're closed. I mean, it just kind of gave you chills and tingles. Like, oh, that's cool, you know. my 6 year old's response to it was, "Holy moly, that looks awesome!" So that tells you right there,
yeah,
it did something right. But yeah,
it's for a new generation.
Yeah, and I think it's just a sense of relief that we're finally these movies that we're supposed to get a year ago, and the whole world has been dealing with COVID, that hopefully they're starting to come out. I mean, I know COVID's not better. In fact, it looks like we're all going to be back in masks in a few weeks. But maybe things will just continue, and it's just the world we have to accept. Maybe we have to go to the movie theaters with masks on to enjoy these things. If that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. It's better than just keep putting things on hold, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But that is all the news I had for this week, unless you guys had anything to bring to the table. I think I covered a lot of stuff. But let's preview next week's film then, I guess.
You did good. You did good, Coach. You did good.
It is in 9 days. I will be a year older on the 8th of this month. And so it's my birthday pick week. If there's only three of us on the show, then Long's birthday is way in January. Then we got to wait a while to another birthday pick. And then me and Matt kind of got back to back a month apart. But this was hard, man. I went through several movies I thought about picking because I've done a lot of my favorite movies already. But then I was looking on HBO Max the other day when I was looking through stuff. The
entire Rebel Radio show is nothing but your favorite movies.
Hey, well, fuck off, man. that's not true. I did Naked Gun, bitch, okay? So, damn, what an asshole statement. I kill you. And but I was looking on HBO Max and a long time ago, me and Matt covered Rocky on the show just before I think Long joined the show officially full time. And Rocky 2, man, is one of my all time favorite sequels. And such a great movie. So next week on the show, we are doing Rocky 2.
He wants to humiliate you. He wants to prove to the whole world that it was nothing but some kind of a freak the first time out.
Rocky, his whole life was a million to one shot, but he's about to show the world he's one in a million.
Why don't you stand up and fight this guy hard like you've done before? That was beautiful.
Rocky 2, the story continues.
I was wondering if wouldn't mind marrying me very much.
I do.
Thanks.
The love continues.
The best thing ever come my crazy life.
Faster! Faster!
The courage.
The doctor said you shouldn't fight anymore.
You recommended I don't fight, and I recommend that I do.
The challenge.
I want all of America, I want the whole world to see me destroy this man after two short rounds.
Now, Rocky, do you think you have a chance this time against Apollo?
I don't know, he looks pretty mad.
The hope.
I never asked you to stop being a woman, you know. Please, don't ask me to stop being a man.
Three, push.
The tears.
He's gonna get hurt because of you.
Well, if he goes blind, you walk away. I can't. I love him. Get out!
The joy.
He's really us, Adrian. I can't believe you've done this.
The pain.
Don't worry about nothing. You just sleep as long as you want, okay? And I'm gonna be here when you wake up.
The struggles.
You go back to being a two-bit nothing.
The dreams.
I think we ought to knock his block off.
Absolutely.
15 rounds for the heavyweight championship of the world.
You think you're going to see a real great battle in every sense of the word?
That's what this fight is going to be. It's going to be a war.
You're going down, man. You're going down.
The most electrifying rematch in motion picture history. Rocky II, starring Sylvester Stallone, Talia Shire, Burt Young, Carl Weathers, and Burgess Meredith. Rocky II. The story continues.
And this is an exciting film, really well paced, probably a little better paced than the original film in some ways because it moves quicker. It's a great sequel with a great ending, classic. It's going to be a fun one to talk about. You know, one of my favorite sports movies of all time on next week's show to talk about for my birthday pick this year. So it should be a good one. And like I said, there are all the Rocky movies are on HBO Max right now if you want to watch along with us. And talk some Rocky 2 next week on the show. So I'm excited for that one. It'll be something good to watch and fun to do. And I know you guys are fans of the Rocky films too, so we should all be able to bring some good information to the table on next week's episode. But until then, that's all I got. The RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And the Comic Palooza audio is good to go from what I can tell. So I am on vacation, so I will definitely get it out sometime this week for sure for you guys to hear that live show from Comic Palooza. I still got to make sure it's all good. There was getting some weird echo in it, but I think that I actually think it was just Audacity was acting up because I went back and I'm like, well, where'd the echo go? So who knows? So it looks like it's good to go, and I'll try to get that out there to y'all sometime. But until then, just stay safe, and thank you for listening as always. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the test pilot.
Yes.
And until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.